I'm suiting up.
Welcome to Dr. 3, a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to giving you explosive growth in climbing the standard rank ladder. I'm your host, Daring Alkline, and along with me are my fellow hosts, Me to Death and Nicolias. So, we have a lot to go over. It was a busy weekend with BlizzCon. So, let's go over last week's poll question. We got a lot of votes for this one.
A lot of votes. So, the poll question for last week was, what game are you the most excited to hear about at BlizzCon 2019? We had 98 total votes, almost 100 votes. That is awesome. And surprise, surprise, we have an audience that's probably coming here for Hearthstone content, and 60% of you said Hearthstone was the game that you were most excited to hear about. Diablo was 19%, Overwatch 11%, and then 9% for World of Warcraft. We had two write-in votes. One person said Heroes of the Storm. One said Warcraft 3. So I think like all the top four games got something pretty good in at BlizzCon, so Hopefully they're pretty happy with what they heard.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot to be excited for. Might not be everything you hoped and dreamed for, but there's a lot of good coming down the pipeline. So let's just roll into it. So let's just quickly touch on what was announced this weekend that was not Hearthstone related. So we got Diablo 4.
A very good cinematic leading into a very dark looking Diablo 4.
The cinematic was amazing.
I still haven't watched it.
It is 9 minutes of awesome. That's all I can say.
I will watch it, but I'll be frank. I've not really played Diablo since Diablo 2 back in 2003. So, like, I'm not the target audience for it.
There were signs up around the convention center that they put up the night before saying that there was content during the opening ceremony that would be difficult for younger viewers, or they suggested parental guidance, and you're just like, oh gosh, what could this be? And it was that cinematic right there.
You sold me on that one, so I'll go ahead and I'll watch it over the next couple of days. We got World of Warcraft Shadowlands. So we got another expansion pack coming down the line for WoW, to be expected. Did they announce anything about WoW Classic, or progression on that or anything?
I don't think they announced anything there. They just kind of said, like, it's our anniversary and you're getting, like, in-game, like, pets and stuff. But I don't think they mentioned anything specifically about...
This is the 15th Classic. Year of World of Warcraft and 25th year for Warcraft in general. And so that's the footman and the grunt statue that were the giveaway as part of your BlizzCon ticket was because of that. And yeah, they kind of just were like, yeah, Classic apparently was what you wanted. So, you know, you guys.
Was it the guy who said, you think you do, but you don't, who was on stage for that? Because that's just amazing.
I think it was Ian that may have said that, and if so, that's a great joke. And then the other jokes about the fact that they were acknowledging that there were spoilers out ahead of time, and then making jokes about it was, you know, he made a couple other jokes like that as well. And so another cinematic that was pretty awesome as well. If you have any sort of allegiance in World of Warcraft, specifically to Sylvanas and maybe the Lich King, that cinematic was pretty cool too.
Yeah,
I don't play World of Warcraft. I haven't played it for like probably 10 years since Wrath of the Lich King, the third expansion. Mm-hmm. That was when the last time I really played it. But I still keep up with the lore and everything. I've read tons of the books. I watch all the cinematics and stuff. And it's just amazing. Like, I love the Warcraft cinematics. They're so
good. Oh yeah. They are super on point. And especially for Battle for Azeroth, the graphic upgrades and the just how cool they were. I think it was really, those are really cool cinematics. And I'm a big fan of the lore too. So I haven't watched that one either. So I didn't really watch any of these cinematics yet.
There's just it's something about it. I haven't played in about a year, but every time I go to BlizzCon, every time I see one of those cinematics that they put out, it just kind of draws me back in. It's like, oh, I don't have enough time to play, but I want to play.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, and then finally, we have Overwatch 2, which we basically confirmed last week, because I saw that pop up on my Twitter feed, and that was, no one was being shy about that. So, very cool. So, let's move.
PvE content in Overwatch.
I'm actually super excited, because I love Overwatch lore, and I've always wanted more of it. So, I always really loved the missions they give you, the PvE missions during special events. I haven't played a lot of Overwatch recently, but it's always cool to see some of the backstory and the characters when they're younger, and you know how the world got to be the way it is. So I love it. So I'm super excited to get some more backstory and some more PvE content. So big fan of that. So. All right, now let's move into Hearthstone. We got announced Descent of Dragons, and it will launch December 10th instead of the 3rd. I thought it would be the 3rd, but it's second Tuesday in December now.
Just to throw you off, Daring. To throw you off.
Yeah, I know, because I said it last week. They're like, no, we're going to prove it wrong. Yeah, exactly, because I'm that important. So
the new expansion normally goes out the week of my birthday. So that's I figured it was going to be the 10th.
Well, look good. At you getting a birthday present again.
Exactly. Got to keep up on those questions.
I'm stuck with a December birthday. Okay, give me this.
Yeah.
All right. That's allowed. I think we can.
So, we are getting 140 cards, 34, which were revealed at BlizzCon.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
It felt like a lot. I'm like, it's amazing. It's like the opening ceremony was over, and all of a sudden, Nikolaus is posting all of these cards in Discord, and I'm like, where did these come from? I just found out what the expansion is. You know... It sometimes you got information coming from all different directions when you're there, and so I know I'm missing stuff, but it's like, how is this possible? But it is. It's interesting that we get that many cards, and we already know what a bunch of them are. Usually, it feels like we only know about 10, 12, maybe 15, mm-hmm. and we know double that.
Yeah, and the crazy. Actual like the release schedule. Or reveal schedule, excuse me, is like 2.5 weeks from now. I think they said November 21st, which is kind of lame, but 140 cards. The evil classes, so priest, rogue, shaman, warrior, and warlock are all getting 3 legendary cards because they're getting the 2-0 ones and then a copy of Galakrond, which we'll go into later.
Exactly. And then the good guys are getting the dragon flights. So that's kind of cool.
I think the good guys are getting the side quest
and the side quests. Yeah. Which is
every class is going to get its own legendary dragon. We're getting dragons in our Year of the Dragon, like Finally. What a shocker.
we're stuffing as many dragons into this year as possible. We're gonna do an all-in-one expansion.
I love during the I don't know what it is, like Alec, when Alec was talking about them, like the good Alec and evil Alec or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's like, you can use these dragons with all the other dragons released this year, and it's had like an asterisk that said all 3 of them at the bottom.
That's good. So let's go into the new keyword, invoke. And this applies to Galakrond, which all of them, all of the Galakrons you can upgrade by invoking. Invoking does two things. It ticks on the upgrade track, and it also gives you, it triggers the hero power for the Galakrond you are playing. So if you have Galakrond in your deck and you play a card with invoke, it ticks towards the next upgrade, and then it also, like, for instance, Rogue's Galakrond's hero power is add a lackey to your hand. Priest is add a random priest minion to your hand, and Warlock is add 2/1/1 imps to the board. So it's Odd Paladin all over again. Yeah, but so what do you guys think of that, the invoke mechanic so far?
Well, Nate, do you want to go?
It looks like, so it's like the C'Thun mechanic that we had a few years ago, in that it buffs Galakrond wherever he is, whether he's in your hand or in your deck, and so it's familiar, and then the Galakrond actually upgrades like the Spellstone upgraded, and it takes 2 invokes to upgrade it once, and then 2 more to upgrade it to its 3rd power level, which I like the fact that it's doing more than just the fact that it's triggering the hero power in addition to powering up your Galakrond. I think is good, and like potentially makes invoke that on cards that aren't as great a little bit more interesting, depending on which class you're trying to play Galakrond in.
Nicholas?
I'm kind of upset, to be honest, about all the Galakrond stuff. I might go into this a little bit later in more in depth, but one of the things that the Blizzard team kind of wanted to get away from, especially after the Year of the Mammoth and then how like impactful the Death Knights were, was these single cards that your deck completely relied on, and the how bad it, like how dependent you were on drawing this single card. And it kind of feels like they're just going right back into it again, and that's kind of upsetting to me. I'm fine with, like, there you can have strong cards and you can have strong legendaries, but when your entire deck is, you know, built around this one card and you don't draw it, it feels really bad. And if you do draw it, then it can feel really bad for your opponent, who has no chance. You know, like, think about the difference. Like, think about playing against, like, Cube Block, right? And, like, as long as they don't have Gul'dan, I win. And then they play Gul'dan. Versus now, it's like, your deck can still function. Like, you're not super reliant on, for example, Dr. Boom. Or, like, you're kind of reliant on Zul'jin, but you have a functioning, like, Highlander Hunter doesn't need to play Zul'jin in order to win the game. A lot of times, Q-Block needed to play Gul'dan to win, or you needed to play Frostlich Jaina in your Big Spell Mage in order to win, or you needed to play Deathstalker Rexxar to win. And now they're kind of getting back into that with the Galakrond, with you're building your deck essentially with all these invoke cards, and if you don't draw it, it's a real feels bad moment. So
I guess I don't feel like the Galakrond cards on their face, at least to me right now, and there's 2 that we haven't seen so far, they don't feel like the pinnacle or the build around portion of the deck. I would argue there's a powerful effect, you know, the Rogue one in particular, when you're drawing cards that cost 0, is very powerful, but I don't know. I guess I look at like the Priest one and the Warlock one, and I guess I don't necessarily see that you potentially build your deck around those 2 cards.
I mean, that's fair. But you're putting in these understated cards, like the cards that have Invoke, all of them by themselves, aren't generally cards that you would just put into your deck. Maybe, like, the Rogue 1 mana Invoke card. Like, you might put that in, like, existing Tempo Rogue decks, but I don't think any of the other Invoke cards are something that you would just put in. So... Mm-hmm.
No, you're. I mean, I think there's a 5-mana Shield of Galakrond that's a 4/5 taunt that Battlecry invokes Galakrond as well. I mean, I think it's solid, but it's not like fantastic or anything, and it helps you progress towards a better Galakrond and gets you a mid game taunt that's not terrible. We've seen lots of five mana taunts that are about that place.
So what seems interesting to me about Galakrond is that, yes, it can feel a little bit bad not to draw him, but at least every time you invoke, you are getting something to, whereas C'Thun, you were just buffing up C'Thun, and if you don't draw C'Thun, nothing ever happens. But with this, you at least get the hero power every time you invoke. So you upgrade Galakrond, but you also get a free 2-mana with that invoke too. So
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of,
I think we're gonna need to see more cards.
Yeah,
to see.
Yeah,
I feel like the class specific invoke cards are probably going to be better, and maybe that's where we're gonna see how Galakrond with these invoke cards is gonna be, if you're going to push your deck into being a Galakrond deck versus a deck that has Galakrond and some evoke cards in it.
Yeah, I'm just concerned that they're kind of like, they spent the entire Year of the Raven like making, mostly with the exception of Gen and Baku, making pretty underpowered sets compared to the Year of the Mammoth in an attempt to power down the level of the game. It was an active decision to lower the power level, and by printing these Galakrond and Evoke cards, and there are some just absolute bonker cards that have also been revealed, it kind of feels that they're making the exact same mistakes again. And it's like, well, it's the third set, so it's going to be around for only a year and, you know, 4 months or whatever. That's fine. But that's like, I'm concerned that they're undoing.
A lot can happen in that time period.
Yeah, I'm concerned that they're basically undoing everything that we suffered through, essentially, in Year of the Raven, of like,
yeah,
the cards not doing anything, and like your entire deck was basically cards from Year of the Mammoth. Like,
mm-hmm.
I definitely don't want to suggest that your concerns are unfounded. I definitely can understand where you're coming from. I already feel like this set feels like, on its face, from the cards that we've seen, has potential to be pretty significant in its power level, and so yeah, we could very easily end up at that point, and where, you know, Kobolds and Catacombs was, or Mean Streets of Gadgetzan was, as a third set that was uber powerful that basically warped what the next 2 years ended up looking like until it rotated out, or year and a half till it rotated out.
Mm-hmm. For sure. All right. So that kind of goes over. Oh, and then let's talk about side quests. How do we feel about side quests? I kind of see the ones we've gotten so far. They're not legendary. They're epic. So you can have more than one in your deck. They do not start in your hand like quests do. But they also feel less impactful, and I don't know if that's just me.
Oh, they're supposed to be not as impactful because you get to play two of them.
Yeah. Actually, the mage one's common.
Yeah. I'm not, like, they're not great. I don't think, like, most of them aren't things you want to play on turn one, or, like, even in the early game. Like, you know, the mage one, you have to spend mana playing spells. Most of the time in the early game, you want to be playing minions. So that's not something you'll ever really be completing early game. Same with the hunter one. You're not using your hero power early, so you want to be like that. They're not cards that you want to really have in your opening hand. The kind of stuff that's mm-hmm. best in the mid game.
It's a filler. It's a nice filler. The question is it worth it to have? I mean, you're getting value for using your hero power, spending mana on spells. The question is it worth the deck spot? I think that's the bigger question. Is that card better served being something other than the side quest that you can kind of maybe more passively complete and get some reward versus something that you actually want in your deck specifically for a particular instance?
Yeah, like the mage one, I think everybody would like a 1-mana 6/6. Thank you very much, please.
Exactly. But
is it better than any other card that you could be putting instead of that in, where you don't have to jump through a hoop and you get like an immediate payoff?
You know, the only,
you're never really going to be able to pay, like, get the quest complete on the turn that you play it.
Unless you play it on turn 9 and then play Power of Creation.
Yeah, like,
that's the only instance. Yeah, like, that's like a swing, but like, you have to wait till you have to be alive to turn 9 to do that. And then what could you have been doing with that other 1-2 cards?
Yeah, and they're really, really, really bad in top deck mode.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, oh god, yeah.
So it's kind of weird because it's not something that you want to be playing early game. It's not something that you want to draw late game. It's like if you don't get this in like the exact middle of the game, you kind of have disappointed. The mana
to actually want to play it and then do whatever it is that it's asking you to do in order to complete the side quest. Yeah.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah, that's kind of where. And the other one we saw was the hunter one. Use your hero power 3 times, get 2-3 leper gnomes. I mean, okay.
I like the art of the card.
Leper gnomes and slingshots.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. So. We have 2 bundles coming out, a 60 pack card back and gold legendary, $50.
$100
packs card back, Deathwing Warrior Portrait, and gold legendary $80. So they've upped the packs you get with the purchases. So
I just want to quickly jump in. If you're in Canada like me, it is $63 and $100.
Okay. So it's still $100 in Canada?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's $100. Gotcha. Yeah, makes sense. Okay.
But they were doing, like, what, 80 packs?
Yeah, it was 80 for 80 and 50 for 50. So you get 10 more for 50 and 20 more plus the Deathwing Hero Portrait, which is normally what you get. You got Elise and you got... what was the one before that? And
King Rastakhan?
Yeah, Rastakhan. Yep, Rastakhan. And then Lazul.
Mecha Draxus as well.
Yep. And Doctor and Boom Labs. So
the conversion rate for Canada does make this less great, but the fact that you're getting more packs, I think, helps a little bit, maybe.
Those prices compared are the same.
Compared to previous expansions, not compared to what US is paying for the same thing.
Hmm. I don't pre-order anymore, so it doesn't affect me in any way. Like, it could be, unless it was like $50 for like 100 packs, I'm probably not going to buy it, and they would never do that, right? So it's irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, but they are increasing a number of packs that they're giving away when you buy them. They're also giving away all the Galakrond hero cards.
Yes.
So that's 5 free legendaries, so that kind of justifies them giving you making 3 legendaries per class? The non-evil classes, are they getting three legendaries too?
No, they're just getting two. Okay. So you can only open two legendaries for each class in packs.
Okay.
Because all the Galakrond ones, you can't disenchant them. You can't open them in packs. It's right. You get them when you log in.
And then we're also getting the free BlizzCon legendary, Sathavar? Which is
Sathravar?
He's available now. 9 mana, 5/5, Battlecry. Choose a friendly minion, add a copy to your hand, deck, and battlefield. So you get three more cards for basically 4 mana because he's a 5/5.
I don't want to see Shervala with this. That was an example that was given.
There was a post on Twitter about this. When the expansion comes out and you're playing the Rogue, Galakrond, if you invoke twice, Rogue has a 4-mana 3/3 that gives you 3 coins if invoked Galakrond twice. So with 10 mana, you can play Spirit of the Shark, the 3/3, to get 6 coins to your hand. You shadow step the 3/3, you play out your coins, you play it again, you play out more of your coins until you get up to 10 mana, you play Edwin, and then you play 2 more coins, I think, and then you play Sathravar, and you get 50-50 Edwins on the field and another one in your hand and another one in your deck.
So what? does it take it takes it as it is? So it adds a 50-50 to your deck?
Yeah, like it makes it, it's like Faceless Manipulator.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well,
so
I mean, that's silly beyond all silly, but
I mean, it's five cards.
Hearthstone theory crafters, this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous combo, and I applaud the first person I see pulling it off. But yes, I don't see that's obviously that's just something ridiculous you could do with it. Shervala with it scares the crud out of me. Yeah. Yeah,
Shervala seems pretty spooky with it. I just think, like, any card that you're able to stick by turn 9, like, it's kind of hard to do, especially now. Like, I don't think this can ever see play right now while Evolve is still in Standard.
Oh, no, God, no.
Once it goes back to Wild, maybe the game slows down a little bit, and if you're able to get to turn 9 consistently and just have a minion, it doesn't really matter what it is. You'll get great value out of Sathravar because it makes the minion on the field. It gives it to your hand. So, like, regardless if it's a battle cry or a death rattle or just like a good stat in minion, you're going to get value out of it. It's just a question of if you can do it consistently enough, which I. Maybe Priest. Like, that's like the only thing I can think of. So.
So. The card that's been revealed so far that is really interesting to me is I'm looking for the Evasive Draconoid.
Seven mana, seven. That can't taunt and can't be targeted by spells or hero powers.
That seems really good. It seems like a control tool. And if you've listened to this podcast before, you know I like control decks. So
I'm just kind of like. Okay, so it doesn't really matter in a couple months from now when rotation happens, but for the time being, there is a card called Crowd Roaster.
Yep.
That deals 7 damage if you have a dragon in your hand. Which elusive, evasive, whatever, Draconoid does absolutely nothing against.
That's true. Also, you still have the warrior card, the execute with the 3/2 minion if you're holding a dragon too.
Yes.
So there are still some
or just Deathwing.
Yeah.
Because that's a card.
Deathwing still exists.
No, I mean the new Deathwing.
Or new Deathwing?
New Deathwing. Oh my god, that card is so freaking strong.
Eight mana for a 12/12 Battlecry attack all other minions. So all other minions that are on the board when he's played. So it's not going to attack a reborn minion, the second half, the reborned minion or death rattle minions that come out. But
so does he stop if he dies? Like if he takes, if there's like 2 6/6s on the board and a 5/5 and a 4/4, just hypothetically, if there's like 20 attack on the board, does he stop when he dies? Or does he make all his attacks and then die?
I have no idea.
I didn't see clarification on that.
I think it's still strong regardless, but that something that you'll need to know.
Yes, exactly.
You don't play it if that's the case. You don't play it when they have poisonous minion up. Like,
right.
No. Exactly.
But if it will do it regardless, then it's even better. Like,
is it Yogg-Saron or Tess?
and it should be pointed out, it's all other minions, so it's friendly minions as well as enemy minions.
Well, you have a little bit more control over that.
Yeah, if you're control warrior, how often do you have minions on the board?
True, that is very true. I just, you know.
Yeah, no, it is something you have to be aware of, but like...
Sometimes you forget those things and suddenly your board evaporates as well.
You make your trades and then, you know, like even if they just have like a 2/2 on the board, right? Mm-hmm. You play this and you have a 12/10. Deal with it, you know? Like, the card is just nuts.
Yes, I agree 100%.
Speaking of nuts... there was a card that Twitter is pretty up in arms about.
Okay.
I am one of those people. I think this is really freaking dumb.
Druid card?
Yep. It's called Breath of Dreams. It is a 2-mana druid card. Draw a card. If you are holding a dragon, gain an empty mana crystal.
Oh.
Wild growth spec, everybody.
Yeah.
So there's two things, right? Like this is, if you're holding a dragon, this is just strictly better than pre-nerf wild growth.
Yes. Because you draw a card in addition.
Yeah. The draw happens first. So even if you don't have a dragon in hand when you play it, if the card that you draw is a dragon, you get that mana crystal.
Oh, uh-huh. Snap.
So you can like Yugi some, you know.
It's like upgrading the spell stone by you know playing the librarian, drawing the spell stone, and then having it instantly upgrade right in your hand.
Oh yeah!
Oh my god!
Oh gosh! I hadn't this card even considered is insane. That. That is like it is.
The only thing I can say is that like, at least their legendary dragon is just trash. Like,
yeah, it really is
so
is.
Bad.
Yeah, Ysera's pretty god awful.
But the other card,
the Emerald Explorer.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that is a 4/8 taunt for Discover Dragon for 6.
Like
that's
good.
That's arguably better than Primordial Drake, which costed 8.
There was a card that was printed. I think it was called Ancient of Blossoms. Which was a 6-mana 3/8, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So
sounds right.
So yeah. This is what plus 1 attack. I think the ancient had taunt. I can't remember, but it has taunt regardless, and it gives you another dragon. Like,
yeah.
Oh my god.
6-mana, so good. So
guys, okay. I got a Nazdarmu.
Yes, you did. You called for Nazdarmu, and he came.
I petitioned. I was carrying a sign, I think, and I got a Nazdarmu. 4-mana, 8/8, the Paladin Legendary. I was excited for a moment because I thought it was going to act like the Twig of the World tree, in which you got the full mana crystals first, but upon further clarification from Blizzard... It is empty mana crystals. So which, your opponent gets to deal with your opponent gets the full 10 before you'll get the full 10.
I just want to say, if you're playing Nozdormu in your deck, you're probably playing some pretty heavy stuff.
Exactly.
And your opponent is probably not mulliganing to keep their 10 drops in their hand.
That is true.
Additionally, if you are playing very heavy stuff, there is a card in Paladin, Call to Adventure, I believe it's called, mm-hmm. which draws the lowest mana cost minion from your deck and gives it +2/+2, and it costs 3 mana. So if you don't play any other 1, 2, 3, or 4 cost minions and you only have Nozdormu, that is 3 draws for Nozdormu where you can immediately start playing next turn your 10 mana cards, where there are probably maybe, like, how many decks can use 10 mana effectively on turn 4?
Exactly. Or turn
5? Not many.
Exactly. You know, sometimes, you convinced me.
You'll run into like that Reno Mage or something and they just drop a Kalagos on you. But there's other times where you're going to go against like a Shaman and they just like, well, I have this Shudderwark that does absolutely nothing. So, you know.
And the big Paladin, the dual Paladin deck has been a thing in Standard off and on or since the dual card came out. Yeah. And so, you know, this is another way to kind of do that deck and be able to then just stuff it with high end minions, including Shervala potentially. And you've convinced me it's better card. I was up here, then I was down here really low, and now I'm closer to where I was when I started. So thank you, Nikolaias, for making me feel better about my Nozdormu.
I'm not going to say 100% that it gets played, but what I am going to say is that if it does get played, it is meta-defining.
Yes, I agree 100%. I was just thinking, I was like, well, guess what? If we both have 10 mana crystals and you're an aggro deck, I'm sure my 10 mana play is a lot more potent than what you can do.
Yeah, like True. You fill your deck with heavy minions and removal and weapons and stuff, and it's much easier to use than like Astral Communion was for Druid.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I
would much rather have something like this where you get the mana and you don't have to discard your hand, or you actually get a body on the board immediately as well.
And I just want to say, late game, this card is still insane. Like,
yeah,
because it's just a 4 mana 8/8 in the late game. Like, when you're talking about how good a card is, a lot of the time, like, the 1 mana slot is known for being insane because you're getting, like, most of the time, 4 points of stats for 1 mana. No other really mana slot has that. You know, when you go to the 2 mana slot, you get like a 2/3, right? So that's 5 points of stats for 2 mana. This has 16 points of stats for 4 mana. So you're getting the power basically of a 1, like the stats per mana of a 1 drop, but turn 4. Like that's absolutely nutty. Like,
it's ridiculous. It's just crazy.
So I think if you're building your deck around this is a card that is fantastic early game, and it's still great late game. So
it's an 8/8 off the top.
Yeah. So
if you get it on turn 9 or something, you give your opponent an extra mana crystal or something. That's nothing.
Yeah,
really. Exactly.
So, not saying that it is going to be played. I am just saying that if it does see play, it's probably going to be meta-defining.
Yep. I would agree that.
There's one other card I want to talk about really quick, and then you guys can do some more. The Dwarven Sharpshooter. 1 mana 1/3 is fantastic stats. Mm-hmm. And the ability for the Hunter Hero power to target minions hasn't really been useful throughout Hearthstone's history, but they've always normally been at the 2 mana slot. Like, I think Steamwheel Sniper or something was 2 mana 2/3 from GVG. this comes out on turn one and it curves right into the hero power on turn two. So your opponent is just not allowed to play a minion. Because if they play a 2-3 or 1-3 or anything that just has 2 health, it's dead.
Yep.
It is straight up dead. You cannot essentially play a minion until you have like 4 health or you're willing to trade a 3-3 into this. Like, this is one of the strongest 1-mana cards I've seen in a while. Like, holy crap.
And the fact that it's got 3 health is huge too.
Yeah, like it trades into the 2-3, kills it with the hero power, and stays alive as a 1-1. Like,
right. Yeah, it's ridiculous. That's such a good card. So
this is kind of what I was talking about like these powerful cards being scary.
No, that is a terrifying one. So we're talking about it, and we're going to do a full set review at some point, or we're going to keep reviewing them as we come out. We haven't decided yet, but we know we're going to do something in the near future, and we'll talk about the majority, if not all, the cards. So the other big news is that button on the bottom is becoming a modes button, and we're getting an auto battle mode, Battlegrounds. So, which is an 8-player auto battler scenario. Mage, you might be able to describe it a little bit better since you were actually at BlizzCon. You got to experience a little bit. So I think you could probably give a little bit better explanation.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, I've never played an auto battler before this weekend. So it is 8 players that can pick from 24 heroes. So each player gets their choice of either 2, or if you pre-order Descent of Dragons, you can get a third option in this. And then you have this two-phase fight, a recruit phase where you add minions to your side of the board, and then a combat phase where the minions fight each other to determine the winner of the round. And you get re-ranked based on your health every round until all 7 other players are eliminated, and then the winner wins. And you've got a different ranking, MMR type ranking that you'll get to see right up front when you go into the mode. And they're also going to have online, they're going to have a leaderboard that you can see where you rank if you're in the top 200 or so. So
you got to play the demo that was on the floor.
Yeah, they unlike previous BlizzCons, they had like a tavern brawl or something that would show off the new cards.
Mm-hmm.
This time it was, you can play Battlegrounds. And it seemed pretty popular. There was a lot of people there most of the 2 days of the con. Mm-hmm. And I got to play it a couple times. And I feel like if you know you could take the knowledge that you have, because there are Hearthstone cards that you're picking from as far as minions and stuff. And if you're at all familiar with auto battlers, I think you'll do pretty well at this and pretty quickly. And
Nikolai is going to shine at this.
Yeah, just like everything else. Yes, he's going to do quite well at it. But the shocking thing, I think, more than anything, was not only the fact that there's this new mode, but that it's coming out like right away.
Yeah,
in fact, exactly. The closed beta, if you
start today,
if you had the virtual ticket or if you pre-ordered the new expansion, you can get it today. Yeah, the people Perfect. Have been playing it all day, and they actually, like Legends of Runeterra, are doing Twitch drops. Streamers that are streaming Hearthstone, if they have drops enabled, you have a chance to potentially gain beta access, closed beta access to this. But even if you don't get that access right away, it is open beta starting next Tuesday, the 12th.
So closed beta is only a week. So you really, if you're not planning a pre-order, you get to try it next week anyway. So that's pretty nice. Then let's look at the Hearthstone Grandmasters
I think they called it Global Finals.
Grandmaster Global Finals. Eight-man tournament, and we had VK Lion versus Bloody Face in the finals, and VK Lion, a female player from China, took the tournament, being the first woman to reach a pinnacle like this in Hearthstone. Very great event, very well played. She dominated the field, so it was, the tournament was very enjoyable. We were looking for the videos earlier and we didn't see them, so they might be out there somewhere, but who knows.
Definitely worth yeah. seeing. I watched some early on, watched part during day two, specifically the Bloody Face Phenomino match, which was, oh my gosh, that was so heartbreaking for one of the two. And it, obviously, yes. Bloody Face was in the finals, it wasn't him. But the finals were really good too. And special, I think, shout out to Gallen, who casted during this event and did a fantastic job.
Gallen did a really good job. Hunter Ace did a really good job.
Yeah.
Just Saiyan did a really good job. It was Hunter Ace and Gallen on the desk, and then Soddle and Just Saiyan, and then it was Soddle and Gallen in the finals.
Yeah. I hadn't seen Gallen do much casting before now, and came away very impressed, including in the finals where I got to see.
Yeah, so. he'd done some of the casting for the European region during Grandmaster, so I'd got to see him cast a little bit before, like probably 5 or 6 games. And okay. I mean, shocker that someone in the Grandmasters really knows their stuff. So
yeah,
so it was all the games are definitely very worthwhile. And we, a little teaser alert, we might have someone coming on next week that played in the tournament. So you'll have to stay tuned as we work out some details. But hot take, that's coming next week, ideally. So, okay, so that'll wrap up our BlizzCon 2019 coverage. So let's go ahead and wrap up the show with this week's poll question.
All right, so we talked a little bit about it, but we have a new mode in Hearthstone, so we would like to know, how excited are you about Hearthstone Battlegrounds? Are you very excited, somewhat excited, not very excited, or not at all? That is the poll question for this week. Definitely let us know what you think. Give us some reasons if you're way feeling one way or the other. We'd love to hear about it. And we will talk about the responses on next week's show.
All right. So that's going to do it for us this week. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Dr3HS. Look at the top tweet and find our Discord. Come join us and hang out in the Dr3 Discord. And you can email the show at Dr3HS@gmail.com. Go ahead and give us a review on iTunes if you like what you're hearing. I think that's the only place we can get reviews. So anything that would, you know, any feedback, we would greatly appreciate. And, you know, we want to do better for our audience. So any feedback you have, we will honestly take it to heart and give us the review you think we deserve. So, and then you can find myself on Twitter at Daring Alkaline. Mage?
I am on Twitter at Majordeath, and Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/Majordeath, and in our Discord, which, by the way, Nikolaus, great job on getting a Descent of Dragons channel up right away in the Discord.
Yes.
So that we can post the cards, so we can talk about those as they are revealed.
Yeah, and he created a Descent of Dragons chat, so there, come in there and discuss the new cards with us. Tell us what you think, and let's theory craft some stuff while we're before we see the rest of the set. And then, Nikolaus, where can they find you?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at Nikolaius123.
Awesome. All right, guys, thanks as always for tuning in, and you've been listening to Dr. 3.
Boom.
Boom.